It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, July 9th, 2019. We have 14 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds to 5 knots today, veering around to the south in the morning, then veering to west 5 knots in the afternoon. So you can see as the weather systems move through, the wind direction changes. We have wind waves from the northwest 1 foot at 4 seconds apart. With the wind, they will shift around to the south at 4 seconds in the morning, then shifting to the west at 4 seconds in the afternoon. Southwest swells, however, those swells are coming from further out to sea from weather systems that affected it many, probably thousands of miles away from here, will be 2 feet high at 15 seconds apart. And on the Columbia River bar this morning at the mouth of the river, general seas will be 2 to 3 feet today. We'll have an ebb around 11 a.m. today, building to 5 feet. Those max ebb current times occur about every 12 hours, and they are a time to stay off the Columbia River bar for most of us, unless you are the Coast Guard or a bar pilot on a ship. And today we're going to talk about recent earthquakes in California that make us nervous about earthquakes and tsunami activity here. I have a statement here that I want to share with you from Gordon McCraw. He's the emergency manager for Tillamook County, talking about what those California earthquakes mean for us and a little bit more about earthquakes in general. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 3 inbounders, we have 6 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Maritime Jingan. She's arriving from the Netherlands, headed for Vancouver, Washington. Her cargo could be finished steel, and she probably passed Astoria around 5 a.m. and will arrive in Vancouver around 11 a.m. The Faircam Charger is arriving from Long Beach, California, headed for Astoria's anchorage, but ultimately she's going to be headed for Clatskanie to the Port Westward docks there to load ethanol, and she will probably arrive in the Astoria anchorage around 10:30 p.m. The Heritage Leader is arriving from Japan, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She's a car carrier with brand new Subarus on board. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver around 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday. In the Astoria anchorage, the Sakazaya Noble is headed for Kalama to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving around 10 a.m. Maybe you'll see her in Kalama around 3 p.m. The Kania is headed for Kalama also to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. She'll leave the Astoria anchorage around 6 p.m. That would put her in Kalama around 11 o'clock tonight. And we have the Auckland Spirit awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage. She's ultimately going upriver to pick up wheat. The Simona Progress is also in the anchorage awaiting orders. The Medi Oita is awaiting orders in the anchorage. She is a wheat ship, as well as the Proteus that is also awaiting orders in the anchorage. So wheat is a big cargo any time of the year on the Columbia. So we are a huge worldwide portal for wheat here. So a lot of outbound wheat on those ships that you see. Well, we've had some earthquakes in California very recently, and I've seen the comments on social media like, uh-oh, what does that mean for us here in Oregon? And I gather that our Coast Community Radio meteorologist, Gordon McCraw, who's also the emergency manager for Tillamook County, has been getting those questions as well. And he put this out on Facebook yesterday, and I thought it was a really succinct explanation of what those California earthquakes mean for us here in Oregon. So I'm going to read that to you, and then I'm going to share some other information about earthquakes that I put together. So this is from meteorologist and emergency manager Gordon McCraw. All these big earthquakes mean what? So I know there are some folks wondering, are all these earthquakes, including the 2 large ones in Southern California, the 6.4 and the 7.1 this past week, are they a precursor to warn us that the big one is about to fire off? Good news, these events, nor the other large ones around the globe, are not related. While the earthquakes down near Ridgecrest, California, were the largest quakes in about the last 20 years, they are on a totally different fault line that sees a regular number of quakes, usually smaller in magnitude, though. It is known that these larger quakes can trigger other earthquakes on a separate fault line that are usually in close proximity to the origin. These California earthquakes are not going to trigger earthquakes on the Oregon or Washington faults. The Cascadia subduction zone, that's what we have here, quake is still considered to be inevitable. We are just not sure if this will release this week, this month, or even this century. The odds have not increased because of the recent California quakes. If you have not developed an emergency plan, including a family communication plan, now is a good time to develop one. Ready.gov is a great resource to help you with this. It even offers ideas for your emergency kit. And don't forget, you can also participate in the largest earthquake drill to be held on October 17th. Visit shakeout.org for more information. And that is from meteorologist Gordon McCraw, essentially telling us that no, the California earthquakes are not necessarily a predictor of what's going to immediately happen here, because you really can't predict earthquakes is what I've, you can predict tendencies and percentages of likelihood, but you can't say on Tuesday there's going to be, or this week there's going to be an earthquake in a certain particular place. So I did a little bit of research about earthquakes and found out some interesting things that I wanted to share with you. One of the things that came to mind for me is, you know, how many earthquakes really do happen? I have a couple of earthquake apps on my phone, and boy, if you look at them, there are earthquakes just happening all the time. A lot of them are so small that we don't feel them, but the Earth is a very seismic place. And it always seems to be, you know, the phrase that I use is kind of adjusting, it's the Earth is adjusting her petticoats all the time and kind of straightening things out. And so sometimes those things become big enough for us to notice them and can cause great damage. But this is from a fact sheet online from an organization that gathers earthquake data. And they're called IRIS, I-R-I-S, Incorporated Research Institutions for Seismology. And their website has a bunch of fact sheets on it that you can take a look at. And this one that I have downloaded is called How Do Earthquakes Occur, or How Often Do Earthquakes Occur? So let me share some of this with you. Earthquakes are always happening somewhere. Magnitude 2 and smaller earthquakes occur several hundred times a day worldwide. Major earthquakes greater than magnitude 7 happen more than once per month. Great earthquakes, magnitude 8 and higher, occur about once a year. And so the magnitude thing is perhaps misleading. You know, you go from a 1 to a 2, 3, 4, it seems like a very linear progression. There's actually a big leap in intensity at each stages of that Richter scale. So for each step up in magnitude on that earthquake scale, an earthquake releases 30 times more energy. So there is a big difference between, say, a magnitude 7 and a magnitude 8 earthquake. The largest recorded earthquake ever that we know of was the Great Chilean Earthquake of May 22, 1960, which had a magnitude of 9.5. The Great Earthquake in 2004 in Sumatra, Indonesia, measuring magnitude 9.1, produced tsunamis that caused widespread disaster in 14 countries. A magnitude 9.0 earthquake in Japan in 2011 caused large tsunamis. All three were megathrust earthquakes on subduction zone boundaries, like we have here, that in a period of minutes released centuries of accumulated strain and caused rebound in the overlying plates. Because great earthquakes release so much energy, the five largest earthquakes are responsible for half of the total energy released by all earthquakes in the last century. And another question here that's posed on this fact sheet that I think is interesting to note: has earthquake activity been increasing? Well, there's definitely been an increase in the number of earthquakes that can be detected and located, and that's because of a more than tenfold increase in the number of seismic stations worldwide over the past century. So our ability to detect earthquakes has gone up quite a bit. This doesn't mean that the annual number of earthquakes has increased. In fact, earthquakes of magnitude 7.0 and greater have remained relatively constant since record-keeping began. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.